You're listening to Front Porch Theology, a podcast of New Heights Church. We laugh, we argue, we carry on. So welcome to our front porch. Have a seat and let's get into it.
Welcome to the Front Porch Theology. It is just me, Jeremy, and no one else. Well, me and Baker are hanging out here together. And we have a fun topic for you. Will is, well, who knows where Will is, traveling the globe, signing autographs, kissing babies. And Heather said, listen, I'm done with seeing your face for the holiday season. So she is taking just a small break until the new year. So she can... You know, go a week without seeing me or hearing my voice. But I got a great show for you, a great topic for you, that is, why is God so obsessed with his name? Now think about it. I don't know if you've ever contemplated. Okay, the Lord says, all right, you shouldn't murder, you shouldn't steal, you know, go cheating on your spouse and don't covet other people's stuff. You got to honor your parents, right? That's a big one. He wants you to rest. We appreciate that one. You know, don't worship any other gods. That's a pretty big one. But what's the deal with his name, right? Like, why is that so important to God that it's a commandment? You gotta keep his name holy, not to use it in vain. And I think sometimes we reduce this commandment to something that makes it almost petty, right? If someone's walking around going, oh, goodness gracious, Jeremy, and I'm not present, I'm not upset by that because my name was used in some sort of silly manner. Now, let's just all make it clear, right? If someone were to use your name in vain, you're not God and you're not holy, you're not purely righteous, you know, you're a depraved person. So God being holy and righteous, there is something about keeping his name holy. But again, I think we miss sight of it when we reduce it to like just like a curse word, right? That, you know, this commandment means not to say a curse word because it's a lot bigger than that. Right now, we get it from Exodus 27, right? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain, right? If you use the Lord's name in vain, you are guilty. Now, some of you are like, no, I say, when I stub my tail, I say, good toast, or something of that manner. Oh, goodness gracious. There are some people who don't like when someone says, goodness gracious, because really they're just, what's it called? Substituting the Lord's name in vain with something else, right? It's like saying, you know, if you're going to say crap, you might as well say, well, and you see why he bleeped that out. But in case there's little people in the car, you know, we don't want them to hear the, you know, Will type of talk. But, with that being said, it's not just a curse word that the Lord's speaking about in Exodus 20, right? And so sometimes, again, we degrade it, we make it silly, we say anything that replaces that, that's also the same, and it's not. So just to kind of approach this differently. What does Scripture say about taking the Lord's name in vain? Leviticus 19:12 says, "You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." Okay, so wait a minute. You shall not swear by my name falsely? What does that mean? This might give you a better context of what it means to use the Lord's name in vain. Isaiah 48, 1 through 2, I think maybe gives a little bit more clarity. Hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel, and who came out from the waters of Judah, who swear by the name of the Lord and confess the God of Israel, but not in truth or right. For they call themselves after the holy city and stay themselves on the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. So they confess the Lord, right? They swear by his name, but they're not true to what they're saying, right? They swear by his name, but they're not in right relationship with him. They're not living rightly. So maybe this... and I'm not saying, don't get me wrong. I don't use, GD, You know, it makes me uncomfortable when someone yells out Jesus for you know, because they stubbed their toe, you know, or whatever it may be. I don't like just to say the word, you know, God as a you know, exclamatory remark. That's just me. That's my personal, you know, conscience there. But I don't think that is the entirety of that commandment, right? Not to take the Lord's name in vain. What we see, whether it's in Israel, Israel and Isaiah, or what we see in Leviticus, a lot of what this is are people who tell others. Think of a false prophet, right? God told me, fill in the blank. And if God didn't tell you, then you are taking his name in vain and swearing falsely in his name. And what scripture says is the guilt, the punishment for that is death, right? The Lord takes it very seriously. You are found guilty for slandering his name. And maybe think of it that way. This is slandering the Lord's name, accrediting something to God that he didn't say or want someone to do. Now, we get this a lot, right? It is, I think, especially in the, when I say charismatic, I don't mean if you believe in the gift still, if you're a continuationist. What I mean is, I don't know, Kenneth Copeland, those type of guys, the heretics, who, you know, they'll go, "Schlager, sugar, God just told me something about you." I don't know if they rhyme it typically, but if I was one of those guys, I would definitely be a rhymer. But you know what I mean? That's what they do. They God just revealed to me something about you. Snap it to a Slim Jim, right? They would say, they say God. Sorry, every time I do that, Baker looked at me weird. When I try to do a prosperity preacher where God gives them, I feel like it's Randy Savage. "Oh yeah, God just told me something. I'm the cream of the crop." Anyways, if you're a Randy Savage fan, you know what I'm talking about. All right, so, but when someone tells you, "God told me this," right, what they're doing, that's a heavy burden to say, "God revealed something to me," and what that means is that's on par with scripture, right? God gave me his word that this is true, and if it's not, then guess what? You're slandering his name, you're taking his name in vain, and you're representing him falsely. And again, to show you how big the Lord takes that, the civil punishment in Israel was death. It was death by stoning, right? And I don't mean Cheech and Chong. I mean like they would roll boulders over top of you and crush you. So this was a big deal. And it's something that if we reduce it to simply say, okay, well, I'm not going to say GD or yell Jesus' name and, you know, as exclamatory remark, but I am going to tell people, you know what God told me to tell you? You know what God has said to me? You know, I was writing this poem and God told me X, Y, and Z. Well, I mean, the weight of what you're saying, and we can go, sometimes I feel like God did talk to me. And this is where I think people confuse something. I think people don't understand the difference between their own inner voice, like their own conscience, versus the word of the Lord, right? There is a difference. And biblically, let me tell you, anyone who ever heard from the Lord, there was no like, "I wonder and I think." It was, "The Lord spoke. Thus saith the Lord," right? They got all King James about it. They put the TH on it. They knew, "Thus saith the Lord." It was clear. And so this misrepresentation of God happens a lot in churches, happens a lot in pastors, happens a lot in biblical communities. And there's a couple things I just can't stand about it that drive me nuts. One, not being able to discern the difference between the inner voice and the word of the Lord, right? Now, you might go, "But wait a minute, I had a holy, godly thought. Someone's name came to me." And I've had this happen before. There are several people who, just the other week, right? This person who I hadn't thought of in a little bit came to my mind, and I'm like, man, and there was this feeling of like, hey, you need to call them. No, I don't think the Lord was going, "Jeremy, do you hear me?
you need to call them.
Like, I don't think that's what it was, right? That's what my inner voice sounds like.
Sounds like this.
It's like a Muppet. But what it was, right? It was, I think my nature is new, and it's held captive by the Holy Spirit. And so I believe the Holy Spirit was laying something on my heart and bringing something to my mind, but that's very different. The Lord putting something on your heart and bringing something to your mind is very different than the Lord speaking to me directly, right? So, anyways, I called the person, and the person was going through something that just had happened to them. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I think the Lord impressed something on my heart. Now, I think sometimes when this type of thing happens, that's what people mean. And we go, you know what? God told me that I needed to call you. I wish we approached that type of language with the same the discomfort we had in saying GD and using the Lord's name kind of, you know, with great lax. I wish we approached that type of scenario with the same caution, right? Maybe as a, you know what, the Lord told me. I think it's better and safer and more God-honoring and appropriate theologically to say the Lord impressed something on my heart, or the Lord, it's good to give the Lord credit, but I don't like this idea of the Lord audibly told me. I don't know. It makes me uncomfortable. I think the other thing that drives me crazy about it is it's like the ultimate Jesus juke, right? If it's like, well, God told me this, well, then who am I to debate with you, right? Especially if it's something that's unbiblical, which, by the way, happens all the time. God told me fill in the blank, and it's something that doesn't correspond with Scripture. And you could show someone Scripture, and they go, yeah, but I heard it from God. Well, how do you know it was God? Because I know God's voice, right? His children, they will know his voice. Yeah, but, okay, well, maybe you're not his child. Maybe you're speaking to some demon. I don't know. But also, again, maybe you're not able to discern the difference between a thought and the voice of the Lord, right? And so that's, I don't like this ultimate Jesus juke where, hey, God told me, and thus it has to happen. I must do it. Let me check Scripture to make sure this is something that's a biblical idea. There was this one individual, I'm not going to go into details, but they said, hey, God told me, that me and my wife were going to lead millions to Jesus. And okay. And that his wife was going to be a great pastor. And I'm like, okay, well, to me, this goes against what Scripture teaches. Right. Not to go too much into that, but I think that's dangerous territory where, you had a dream and now you want to interpret your dream to be, a message from God, or you hear a voice or you have a thought. Like, and if it's just thinking, how do you discern? Like, you know, some of you don't even have inner voices, which is kind of crazy. I know some people have that. We've talked about this before. I know Will's wife, Amanda, she doesn't have an inner dialogue. She sees only pictures. So, you know, maybe if she heard an audible voice, she'd be like, what on earth is happening? But again, I think this Jesus Jew, God told me, therefore you can't dispute it. You can't ask questions. This is it. That's all. I think God primarily speaks through his word, his Scripture, the written word. And I think that's what we should go to check all little voices that are being thought in our heads. But this goes on, I think, far too often. You definitely see it with musicians. Baker, I don't know. You don't have a mic over there, but I've heard musicians do this before, be like, hey, the Lord gave me this song to sing, or you give me these lyrics. I don't like that, right? I think the Lord wrote lyrics already. It's called the Psalms. People don't like to sing those. And God wrote songs for people to sing. And we were like, yeah, but they don't rhyme. They don't hit on that beat. Maybe they, I wonder if there's like a Hebrew rhyme. Maybe they rhyme in Hebrew. I don't know. That's not what Hebrew sounds like at all. I don't know. It's probably offensive to the one Hebrew speaker. I'm not going to get into that. But the reality is, I don't like it when musicians do it. I don't like it when pastors do it. I've seen this in community. This is real, Baker. I don't know. I know you grew up in like a American Baptist, is that right? There are churches where people will say, God told me you should marry this person. I've heard it all the way to you should buy this fridge, which is wild. Like, the Lord told me you are going to need, like, it was like newlyweds. This one person told me, you're going to need a fridge and furniture, and this is where you need to shop. Like, that's super specific. And by the way, I think it's also detrimental when it comes to living out the Christian life. If you're sitting around going, okay, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What job should I get? Where should I go? And you're waiting for God to audibly go, well, let me tell you, you should work here at the local dibbly-doo, you know, the, whatever it is, right? The Piggly Wiggly. That is detrimental to because the Lord's already told you what he wants you to do, right? He wants you to flourish where you're at. He wants you to disciple. He wants you to evangelize. He wants you to baptize. That's what he wants you to do. And you have to do those things. And whether you eat or drink or whatever it is that you choose to do, you do it for the glory of God. Whatever you do should be counter to scripture, but there are people who sit around on their hands all day long wondering, God, tell me what you want. Tell me. And it's like, he already did. You just got to open it up and read it. Right? And so this is that expectation of God coming to me and audibly telling me something in the form of a burning bush, it's bad. But there's another side of this coin as far as, making sure that we're honoring and not slandering the Lord. But there's also the part that I think closely related, which is making sure we don't mock what God takes serious. And this is kind of what I bring up, especially in the Christmas season, because there is nothing that is mocked more that God finds precious and beautiful than Christmas, right? When you think about the mockery that especially like American culture has made about Christmas, it's mind-boggling, right? Like whether it's the consumerism that we all fall into, or whether it, like, there's two movies, right, this Christmas season that have come out. One of them is called, I don't know if it's called like Bad Santa or just Santa. It's with Jack Black. A kid writes a letter. The kids are writing a letter to Santa, you know, writing, and one accidentally misspells Santa and puts Satan, and this card goes down to Satan. And Satan is kind of like the anti-hero of the movie. And Jack Black is funny Satan, and he's so cute and funny, and he yells, and then he becomes kind of the good guy, I would imagine, because that's how these Christmas movies work. And so it's portraying Satan, this enemy of God, an enemy of you, a liar, a deceiver, as someone who is charming and really ends up helping the child. And so that, to me, that's disturbing, right? Like, that's a mockery of a holiday that is celebrating the incarnation, to have a movie come out that is to make Satan the hero, right? That's strange. It's a mockery. Once upon a time, I think it was like the 1830s, 1840s, there was a big pushback on the introduction of Santa. I may have my dates wrong on that, but there's a big pushback because it's like, hey, this isn't really why we do this. This isn't why this... we should do, and I'm not anti-Santa. If you do Santa in your house, we don't do it in ours, but I got nothing against the Elf on the Shelf. I'm not a legalist on this, but you can see how little it becomes about the incarnation, right? This, a climactic point in history, all of creation's waiting on it. All of it is anticipating the day where God becomes man. And, at this point, We kind of, that becomes secondary. It's just kind of the thing we do on Sundays, but it's not something that it's focused on, right? It's like we miss it because we haven't taken it seriously. And to me, it seems like the incarnation is something that God would take very, very seriously. And it is. There might be some taking, using his name. Some vain. When we call it Christmas, this day of Christ, yet in reality, it's very little about that. It's kind of like the house of Israel, right? The house of Jacob, who called upon the name of Israel and who came out of the waters of Judah, who swore by the name of the Lord and confessed the God of Israel, but not in truth or right. Right? Is this sweet? Yes, it's about Jesus, but nothing about it is really about Jesus. The name says Jesus. The rest of it, it's all about, you know, polar bears that drink Coke and elves that are mischievous and you name it, right? Everything else except for what's in the Bible and Satan posing as Santa who becomes the hero of a story. Or may I add, this other movie that's on Netflix, Mary. That's the other movie that's kind of come out that's going to be popular probably this Christmas that everyone's going to want to watch together. The movie called Mary that re-documents and tells you the real story of what happened with Mary and her, the birth of Jesus. Has Anthony Hopkins in it, which is, honestly makes me want to watch it because I'm a big Anthony Hopkins fan. I do plan on watching it because I'm super curious. I've just read a little bit, saw some reviews, and listened to what the director had to say. He wanted to humanize Mary, which is interesting because, well, she is kind of human, right? I mean, and when I say kind of, I mean fully depraved sinner Mary, right? She is human. But I get it. It's definitely has a lot of Catholic tendencies. It wants to deify Mary and make her this equal power behind the birth of Jesus. That she is somehow she's definitely exalted, right? Based off of what I've seen so far and what I've read. But hopefully I'll come back and maybe in a week or two. Maybe Will and I can watch the movie and give you our educated, once we're seeing the movies, our full impression of it. But I would say be weary to mock what God takes seriously. There's nothing wrong. I think Mary's an incredible woman in Scripture. When I think of the Nativity, when I think of Christmas, I do think of Mary. I think Mary's an amazing woman who I get actually really sappy when I think about her life in the gospel. What she sees from beginning to end is absolutely wild. And I, as a parent, it would be hard for me to imagine. But let me say this. What we want to make sure we're not doing is mocking the idea that the incarnation is about Christ, not about anybody else, right? It's not about a, you know, half demigod or some demigod named Mary, some sinless person outside of Christ. It's Mary is not the central point of the story. It's Jesus. And when you get movies like Mary, it wants to change the focus so much that they named the movie after Mary when it's about the birth of Christ, right? And that says it all. And again, I got nothing wrong focusing on Mary, but Mary's story is written in the Word, and there's some things that are entertainment. I know if Will were here, you know, there it's kind of like The Chosen. I get there's that line of like, hey, this is just entertainment. But where there's so much focus on Mary, I don't know if I'd want to go there personally. I think that I don't think there's anything to add. I think we can just appreciate the Word for what it says about these people and make sure we don't change the focus of Christmas to someone other than Christ. And I pray that that's what you do in your home as we seek to be a people who do not mock God or take His name in vain, but that we can be a holy people who pursue Him in all things. Peace be with you.
Thanks for listening. If you have any questions, submit them on the New Heights Church app. And we'll catch you next time. Watch for deer.